Good morning, everyone. This is the recorded morning service for Sunday, the 20th of June, from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman. As both our congregations are now able to worship in person, today's service is the last one which we will be pre-recording and making available by telephone. If this is a concern for you, please contact Alan Crutchley if you're from Wallington, or Heather Saint if you're from St Andrews.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship. We gather to worship our God, calm presence in our times of confusion, comforter in our nights of struggle. We gather with fellow pilgrims as we seek to follow Jesus, brother to those swamped by fears, friend to all overwhelmed by loss. We are brought together by the Spirit, who lives in the depths of our souls, the serenity who travels with us on this up and down journey we call life. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth.
For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the stars, for the loveliness of the land, all the light around the stars, Lord, our hearts will be raised, is our sacrifice of praise.
Let us pray. You lay the foundations of the universe, building a shelter for our battered souls. You create wonders which are priceless, yet you always remember the needy. We open our hearts to you, God of graciousness. When evening comes and fears prowl the shadows of our days, you whisper, "Peace. Be still," to our hammering hearts, so we know that you are always with us. We open our hearts to you, dearest friend of life. Doubts and despair may swamp our lives, but you calm us with a word. Illness and death struggle to control our futures, but you comfort us with peace. We open our hearts to you, Spirit of hope and grace. We open our hearts to you now and forever, God in community, Holy One. They can be such giants in our lives, God of grace. Each day our fears, our doubts, our worries wash over us until we come to believe that you do not care for us. There seems to be so much wrong in the world. We are convinced that there is nothing good we can do. The storms of sin and temptation batter at us and we cower, unable to find the faith to withstand them. Forgive us, God of hope. Remind us that if we but open our hearts, you will heal us. If we but listen to your words, we will hear peace and joy. If we but open our lives to you, we can go forth to serve our sisters and brothers, even as we have been served by our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. With calming words, with a peaceful spirit, with overflowing love and hope, our God forgives us and fills us with faith. Our God affirms us for who we are, those whose brokenness is made whole, whose sin is forgiven, whose lives overflow with faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its more modern form. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
Hello. We've had some very odd weather this year, haven't we? We had such a cold, dry April, and then a cold, wet May. And then as May finished, we had some hot, sunny days, and now we've had a run of hot weather. And then, of course, on Wednesday night, Thursday and Friday, the hot, dry weather broke. And that means we've had some heavy, heavy rain. And we were even meant to have thunderstorms, but I think they passed us by. In the Sea of Galilee, in a hot, dry part of the world, stormy weather comes out of the blue. You can set out in your boat on a calm, sunny day, and before you know it, the wind is whipping up the waves and the rain is lashing down. If you're in a boat with a sail, you have to quickly get the sail down before it rips, so now it's harder to steer. You have to hold on tight as the waves toss your boat this way and that, and it would be very easy to be thrown overboard into the stormy water. That's what happened to Jesus and his disciples one day. It was evening when they left the crowd they'd been with that day, and Jesus suggested that they cross the lake, the Sea of Galilee. That's about 8 miles across. Now, several of Jesus' disciples were fishermen and really experienced at being on the lake in all weathers. But the storm that blew up really frightened them. They thought they were likely to die. Meanwhile, Jesus slept through the crashing waves and roaring wind. The Gospel writer Mark tells us that the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Imagine that. Maybe it sounded something like this. You might even notice that someone spoke in that. That was wind. And you could barely hear the voices. So that would be, the wind would be catching their voices and carrying them off. And Jesus was asleep. Well, the disciples woke Jesus and said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Mark doesn't say that Jesus tried to reassure them. He just got up and said to the wind and waves, "Quiet, be still." Now, the disciples had been travelling around with Jesus and must have admired him hugely. They'd given up their work and left their homes to literally follow him. But they still did not understand Jesus' authority over the world, that he was God's son. But this action gave them a very strong message. Jesus was more than a good leader, more than a great teacher, storyteller, healer. He was more than a prophet from God. He was God's son. The disciples had Jesus with them in the boat, but they did not understand that they could trust Jesus to take care of them. They were learning about how to trust him. Now we have Jesus in our hearts. He's our friend, and we can trust him to be with us, even when we're facing difficult challenges. And because of what we've read in the Bible, we can know that we can trust him. Sometimes the challenges that we face make us feel like we're in a storm. If we're having difficulties with people in our class at school, feeling hurt by people who we thought were our friends, if there are arguments in our family, if there's a sad situation because someone we know is very ill, Jesus is with us, even if we don't realise it. He is with us to help us face the storms of life.
Our second hymn, "One More Step Along the World I Go."
Step along the world I go, from the old things to the new, just keep me traveling along with you. Round the corners of the world I turn, more and more about the world I learn, and the new things that I see, you'll be looking at along with me. And it's from the old I travel to the new, just keep me traveling along with you. Give me courage when the world is rough, keep me loving though this world is tough, leap and sing in all I do, just keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new, just keep me traveling along with you. You are older than the world can be, you are younger than the life in me, ever old and ever new, just keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new, just keep me traveling along with you. Traveling along with you, just keep me traveling along with you, just keep me traveling along with you.
A reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, verses 32 to 49. David said to Saul, "Your Majesty, no one should be afraid of this Philistine. I will go and fight him." "No," answered Saul. "How could you fight him? You're just a boy, and he has been a soldier all his life." "Your Majesty," David said, "I take care of my father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear carries off a lamb, I go after it, attack it, and rescue the lamb. And if the lion or bear turns on me, I grab it by the throat and beat it to death. I have killed lions and bears, and I will do the same to this heathen Philistine who has defied the army of the living God. The Lord has saved me from lions and bears. He will save me from this Philistine." "All right," Saul answered. "Go, and the Lord be with you." He gave his own armour to David for him to wear, a bronze helmet, which he put on David's head, and a coat of armour. David strapped Saul's sword over the armour and tried to walk, but he couldn't, because he wasn't used to wearing them. "I can't fight with all this," he said to Saul. "I'm not used to it." So he took it all off. He took his shepherd's stick and then picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in his bag. With his catapult ready, he went out to meet Goliath. The Philistine started walking towards David, with his shield bearer walking in front of him. He kept coming closer, and when he got a good look at David, he was filled with scorn for him, because he was just a nice, good-looking boy. He said to David, "What's that stick for? Do you think I'm a dog?" And he called down curses from his God on David. "Come on," he challenged David, "and I will give your body to the birds and animals to eat." David answered, "You are coming against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the Israelite armies which you have defied. This very day the Lord will put you in my power. I will defeat you and cut off your head, and I will give the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds and animals to eat. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God, and that everyone here will see the Lord does not need swords or spears to save his people. He is victorious in battle, and he will put all of you in our power." Goliath started walking towards David again, and David ran quickly towards the Philistine battle line to fight him. He put his hand into his bag and took out a stone, which he slung at Goliath. It hit him on the forehead and broke his skull, and Goliath fell face downwards on the ground. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Our reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Today's gospel reading is a familiar one. I recall it from early childhood and have seen pictures from Sunday school of Jesus standing in the bow of a small boat, his long hair and his perfectly white robe blowing in the wind, stretching out his hand, and you could just tell that the storm would be over any second. Perhaps you have similar memories from your illustrated children's Bible or posters that were unrolled by your Sunday school teacher. The previous evening, Jesus has sailed with the disciples onto the Sea of Galilee after a long, tiring day. Before they know it, the little boat is overwhelmed by one of those seasonal storms famous in that part of the world. The crew is fighting desperately to keep it under control, but the waves grow higher, the wind more intense. At every gust, the disciples huddle together, saying, "It can blow no harder." But the gale seems to mock them, driving their words back down their throats. There is, perhaps, nothing more frightening than a storm at sea in the dark of night. Even when the winds wrench a hole in the clouds and reveal the moon rushing backward across the sky, even then there is nothing but terror. The darkness closes in, the wind howls and screams like a demon. The disciples and the Jews of their time would have regarded the stormy sea as the very image of chaos. They believed it was only through the continuing watchfulness of God that the creation did not at any moment return to its original state, totally without form and void. In the storm, they thought time itself might hurtle backwards, taking them back to that creative moment when the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the deep, or back before that, when there was nothing but chaos. For the disciples, being in that storm was like being at the end of the world. The disciples probably didn't even want to be out there. It was Jesus' idea, not theirs. "Let's go across to the other side," he had said. And even apart from the storm, I wonder if anyone questioned the plan itself to go to the other side. Because the other side was the country of the Gerasenes, the land on the east shore of the Sea of Galilee, a land populated mostly by Greeks and other Gentiles, relatively few Jews, and full of pagan religion and practices. They kept pigs, for goodness sake. And surely some of the disciples could read the signs, and know they'd probably be sailing into a storm. So did anyone suggest that they might leave this for another day? Now, at the very edge of survival, as the ship is about to be swamped, they find Jesus asleep. And they cry out to their teacher, "Don't you care if we perish?" In their fear, they drew the most fateful conclusion. This storm must be a sign that God had turned against them. God had raised up that mighty wind to destroy them. The truly frightening thing here is the thought that God had brought down this storm upon them in his righteous anger. And then Jesus stands, faces down the wave, saying, "Peace, be still. Why are you afraid, O people of little faith?" Today's Old Testament reading presents us with another type of giant, besides the giant waves, David facing Goliath. And this, too, is a familiar tale portrayed in those pictures of our childhood, with the boy standing over the fallen armoured giant, his sling dangling by his side and a stream meandering in the background. When David faced Goliath, he did so without the so-called benefit of Saul's armour, because it didn't fit. At its heart, this story is surely about facing our fears and challenges honestly as we are, knowing our vulnerabilities. You will have heard sermons on this. Saul's armour could represent a whole host of things we sometimes try to hide behind. Our reputation, our intellect, the skills we have learned. Sometimes in our lives we try hard to face our fears and challenges in the manner of someone else. David's battle with Goliath reminds us that we are each unique and each perfectly equipped to battle whatever giants we face in our life. We can't borrow someone else's armour or weapons to fight those battles. We do it ourselves, and we do it as we are with the gifts that we have. Superheroes are popular, and one of the most famous is Superman. Superman brings to mind the image of invulnerability. He was a man of steel. He hid behind a secret self, those glasses. He was able to cope with anything without anyone else's help. He was all-knowing. He showed no emotion, except for the occasional bout of jealousy over Lois Lane. How we'd love to be Superman or Superwoman, invulnerable, safe from all dangers and challenges. Our lives would be lived without fear. But, as the disciples discovered when they had the Lord of Life in the boat with them, it's very difficult to live our lives without fear. And the Superman image doesn't fit for us any more than Saul's armour would fit David. A song from a few years back, Superman, by Five for Fighting, reflects a man's struggle with his own and others' Superman expectations and his need to be real. The lyrics include the following lines. I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird. I'm more than a plane. Wish that I could cry. Even heroes have the right to bleed. Even heroes have the right to dream. Men weren't meant to ride with clouds between their knees. I'm only a man in a silly red sheet. It's not easy to be me. Heroism is found in facing giants as our vulnerable, honest self. A number of years ago, I was fortunate enough to see Michelangelo's statue of David in Florence. The statue contains symbolism that is not immediately obvious. Michelangelo made his statue of David as large as Goliath is described in today's reading, and the figure of David is naked to represent his armourless vulnerability before Goliath. Saul's armour was good for Saul, but not for David. He had to find his own way of handling Goliath. David faced Goliath in his vulnerability, not pretending to be a hero or Superman, not pretending to be what he wasn't. And despite having the Lord of Life with them in their very boat, the disciples could not help but be afraid. Our gospel reading is one of those stories that is told as a way of showing both the identity and the power of Jesus. It is a way of showing that in some ways Jesus has or has access to the same power that brought order out of chaos in the first place. They were in a boat, and only the power of Jesus saved them from capsizing and presumably drowning. We might see it as an impossible tale and doubt that it ever happened. We might very well see it as irrelevant for our lives today. Where was this power when small boats or large ships were swamped and sunk in storms at sea and many lives were lost? Yet when we remove this story from the realm of history and allow it to be seen as faith proclamation, it speaks of a power that can transform our very lives. Normally, this passage is grouped in a class with all the other miracle stories. And Jesus is depicted as a miracle worker, a man who has some special power to intercept the normal course of events. He can reverse the laws of gravity and walk on water. He can turn back the progress of disease and heal the sick. He can even stop the inevitable decomposition of the human body after death and bring it back to life. I'm not denying that miracles are possible. Even the laws of nature attract lawbreakers, and God is the greatest lawbreaker of them all. The challenge is that miracles are, by definition, exceptional. Our faith cannot hinge upon the hope that God will step in and save us during every moment of crisis. In the teeth of the storm and in the face of the disciples' deepest fears, Jesus offered no more than a word. Peace, be still. The same is needed at many points of crisis in our lives. Our situation may be full of troubles. Emotions may be at war within us. We may strike out in anger at a friend who tries to help. We reach a moment of paralysis or panic, but suddenly the right person says the right word at the right time and everything falls into place. Peace, be still. Suddenly, there is a mysterious peace, even the peace of God. Such moments do not come often. But when they do, they remind us that beneath the raging tumult of the heaviest storm, there are the still waters of the ocean's depth. Seems to me that the point of the story and the real miracle of it isn't Jesus' ability to control the weather. Rather, the miracle of the story is that Jesus, and that in Jesus God, is right with the disciples in their waterlogged boat, experiencing the storm, the waves, and the terrible danger with them. And the point of the story is that that should have been enough. Because God's power is not found in the control of creation or of people, but in the willingness to be in deep relationship with them, a vulnerable relationship with them. Not in being able to impose a divine will and insist that things turn out right, but in walking and living and sailing with us as we are and as we fumble around, make our way and even sail into storms as we answer the call to go over to some other side in pursuit of living out God's love for all the world. God's power is not seen in God's imposing a kingdom on the world, but in God's working together with us to make connections of compassion in the midst of hurt and sorrow, to gather communities of justice and peace in the midst of whatever darkness and coldness may have gripped the world in our day, to live out wellness and courage even in the midst of disease and brokenness, and to offer ourselves and call forth from others self-giving love even in the most selfish and scary of times. Today's gospel reading is not really about some miracle of Jesus doing something magical to calm the waters on the Sea of Galilee. To see this event as some kind of miracle is to miss the key point. This is not about Jesus. It's about the disciples, and therefore it is about us. Fear is confronted in this story, but not by a sudden burst of courage or resolve on the part of the disciples. In the course of the storm, they never pull themselves together. They do not, at least not on their own, discover inner resources they did not know they had. Instead, it is Jesus who both calms them and the storm with the power of his presence. This is not some story of self-help. Nor is it about Jesus doing something impossible with the weather. This story invites us to turn again to the Lord of wind and wave, the one we trust to be more powerful than both Galilean storms and the storms that rage in our lives. Note that in all of this, Jesus does not say, "You have nothing of which to be afraid." Instead, he says, "Don't be afraid." He acknowledges and recognizes our fears and the fear of the disciples. It's real and it's natural, and like a parent helping their young child to overcome the fear of approaching a strange animal or riding a bike or starting a new school, it's okay. And he says, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you." That is a core truth of the gospel. We hear it over and over again from Jesus to his followers. His first words to Mary Magdalene and the women when they come to the tomb on that first Easter are, "Don't be afraid." It was a core truth which sustained the early church, and it is a core truth which sustains us today. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. as seen near the end of John Bunyan's classical allegorical novel The Pilgrim's Progress, finds the chief character Christian, the archetype of a person struggling to lead a life of faith, nearing the end of his symbolic journey. This journey requires him to cross a great and fearsome river. He is desperately afraid. Together with his friend Hopeful, they wade into the waters with trepidation. Bunyan has Christian cry out, "I sink in deep waters, the billows go over my head, all his waves go over me." Hopeful replies with what may be among the most grace-filled words in all of literature. "Be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom, and it is good." Don't be afraid. I am with you. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the hosts of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends don't understand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
In the light of the extension of restrictions, we remember in prayer today those whose businesses are sinking, those drowning in debt, those going under with stress. Faithful God, may they know you care. Loving God, may they trust you're there. Saving God, hear our prayer. We pray for those embroiled in stormy and violent relationships among and within nations, communities and families. Those played out on the world's stage, those hidden behind closed doors. Faithful God, may they know you care. Loving God, may they trust you're there. Saving God, hear our prayer. We pray for those whose cries go unheard, especially those tortured and executed by brutal regimes. For those whose questions go unanswered, especially those searching for justice. For those whose pleas go unheeded, especially those on the edge unable to access mental health services. For those whose needs go unmet, especially in the Yemen, in Tigray, and in all places of poverty where the resources available are inadequate to feed the hungry and starving. Faithful God, may they know you care. Loving God, may they trust you're there. Saving God, hear our prayer. We pray for the church in the world as it seeks to address and answer big questions. Questions about life and death. About gender and sexuality. About faith and finance. About race and responsibilities. About integrity and healing. Faithful God, may they know you care. Loving God, may they trust you're there. Saving God, hear our prayer. We pray for our own churches and communities, giving thanks for the skills and commitment of all those who have contributed to our shared worship online. To all those who read, prayed, for all the familied, found hymns, led worship. For Craig as he has ministered to us. And especially also for Peter, for his skill, time and commitment to facilitate our services. We have been blessed by sharing together. May we feel the power of your love surrounding and supporting us as we continue into the next phase of our worshipping lives. And in a moment of silence, an opportunity to bring our own prayers for ourselves, our families, and friends to God. Faithful God, we are lucky we know you care. May those named in our hearts know you care. Loving God, we know we can trust you. May those named in our hearts be able to trust you're there. Saving God, hear our prayer. God of power and peace, when the storm is raging, you are there. When our boats are sinking, you are there. When faith slips through our fingers, you are there. When our hearts sink and our courage fails, you are there. In the roar of the waves, in the sound of the wind, and in the silence, you are there. And so we praise you and bring our prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn, Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all joy. Go now, and wherever people will hear you, proclaim the life-changing love of God. Do not fear your weakness, for when you are weakest, Christ's strength is known. Travel lightly, live simply, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and all whom you love, this day and evermore. Amen.